Welcome to the America's Quarterly Podcast. I'm Brian Winter. Politics in Bolivia in recent years has been divisive and even deadly. But a month into his presidency, Luis Arce is taking a more conciliatory approach.
I prefer to have a dual country. The intensity of Bolivian politics are sometimes too much with violence. So suddenly we have a more, quote-unquote, normal president with a more moderate approach. And in general, I think that society is optimistic.
It's not clear whether any president is capable of fully healing Bolivia after what it's been through over the past 14 months or so, on top of the bitter political crisis that started with the fall of President Evo Morales in late 2019. The country had some of Latin America's strictest lockdowns and yet also among its highest death rates from the pandemic. The economy, like others in the region, is facing huge deficits, rising poverty, and a big drop in GDP. It was in this troubling landscape that Luis Arce stepped in as Bolivia's president 1 month ago. The former finance minister under Evo for more than a decade, Arce is to some a familiar, trusted figure, maybe even more moderate than Evo himself, a person who can help restore order to democracy and to the economy. Others, though, wonder if under his leadership, the MAS will engage in a politics of revenge against Jeanine Añez and those who ran the country for the past year. As always with Bolivia, of course, there are fears of violence and even separatist movements that could literally tear the country apart. A month into Arce's presidency now, we have some clues, though, as to where he'll take Bolivia. And to discuss them, I'm joined from La Paz by Raul Peñaranda, the director of the Bolivian news portal Brújula Digital. Raul's work as a journalist has earned him the coveted Maria Moores Cabot Prize and a Nieman Fellowship at Harvard University. He was previously a guest on the AQ podcast in June. Raul, welcome back.
Brian, great to be back in your show.
So, Raul, when he was inaugurated a month ago, President Arce promised to govern for all Bolivians. And look, he had a good mandate. I mean, he won the election with 55% of the vote, which was more than most people expected. But governing for all Bolivians is easier said than done. How is he doing so far?
Brian, I'm optimistic about President Arce's first month in power. He's been minimalistic, as a newspaper said about him the other day. He's given interesting speeches and much more moderate than Evo Morales, for example. He's really trying to not be a very polarizing figure, and he's trying to really put together different sectors of society. So I'm optimistic. I didn't think that I was going to say that before being elected, but that's something that we have to admit. He, for example, he's trying to push for a judicial system change that I think that is important.
So you said minimalistic. What exactly does that mean? Does that mean he's just not out there that much in the public eye?
Exactly. Very few speeches for him, for example, few trips to different Bolivian cities. Because we are comparing him with Evo Morales. Evo Morales used to travel 2 or 3 times per day to go to big rallies around the country. Morales had sometimes more than 1,000 rallies per year. So that was really a style of governing with tough declarations and antagonizing with the opposition. And suddenly we have a president that takes commercial flights to go to some Bolivian cities. He gives briefs, press conferences. He's really interested in having like a more moderate approach towards the opposition. So that's what we call in Bolivia now suddenly minimalistic, comparing him to Evo Morales. For example, Evo Morales used his presidential airplane 2 or 3 times a day because he was traveling around the country. And the other day, President Arce said it's too expensive to use the presidential airplane. This is why I'm going to have only commercial trips. That was interesting. Also, Evo Morales used to have his helicopter to take him from his official residency to Palace of Government. And President Arce said, no, I'm going to take my car with the police motorcade or whatever, but I'm not taking the helicopter. So those are signals that are differentiating himself from Morales.
These are big changes. And, you know, I imagine that, it, you know, that people have noticed, because after the climate of the last year plus, I mean, it was so energized and it was so divisive that it became kind of a passion topic elsewhere in Latin America, too. And we talked about that back in June. I mean, everybody in Brazil, in Mexico, in Argentina, elsewhere, everybody had an opinion about Bolivia. Now it sounds like it's almost become a little bit dull. How are the Bolivian people reacting to that? I mean, is this what people want? Are people feeling a little bit bored? Tell me about it. I mean, how has this posture of his been received?
Yes. Look, we prefer, or I should say, I prefer to have a dull country, more boring country, that to intense, the intensity of Bolivian politics are sometimes too much with violence, and as we spoke the last time. So suddenly we have a more, quote-unquote, normal president with a more moderate approach. And in general, I think that society is optimistic. Of course, 45% of the Bolivian population voted against the MAS party, and it's still a polarized society. But in general, I think that the first indications of the Arce government are positive. Of course, there are also some worrying signs, like, for example, they want to go after former President Áñez in a trial. But in general, I think that it's less than many people expected. We thought that the MAS party, again, in power with 55% of the vote, would be vindictive. But I think that it didn't happen. Maybe I'm a little bit more optimistic than I should, but I think that at least the signs until now are good.
The separatist sentiment that we've often seen over the years out of Santa Cruz, especially when the MAS was in charge, has that died down, at least for the moment, maybe in part because Arce has taken this more conciliatory stance?
Probably, yes. I think that it's getting lower, but also Camacho, the leader of Santa Cruz and the one who got third in the election, is from that area, and he's very tough. He would be kind of a far-right leader. He wants to run to be governor of Santa Cruz in the next elections in March. So that maybe would be a good idea, because if he's a governor, he has to lead with the government. He has to have conversations with the president or the central government, and that would be good news. But in general, I think that the Santa Cruz problem is still there.
So it's clear that Arce has taken this more conciliatory kind of quiet report. But Evo Morales is back, right? I mean, he made a show of crossing back over the bridge from Argentina into Bolivia just a couple of weeks ago. How has he been behaving himself since? I mean, what's our evaluation of how active he has been in Arce's government in terms of providing advice to the president? Are they talking much? Is he criticizing Arce yet? It's only been a month, but what can you tell us about what Evo's been up to?
Evo is Evo. So Evo is very polarizing. He's antagonizing with everyone. He's tough. Of course, he's also very popular. Hundreds of thousands of people went to the Chapare region where he lives to greet him when he was back. He's very powerful, Brian. He handpicked Arce as a candidate for the MAS party. And he also handpicked Choquehuanca as vice president candidate, and also was very influential in picking the candidates for Congress. So many of congressmen and women in Bolivia of his caucus are pro-Morales. And now the party gave him the chance to lead the chosen candidates of the regional elections that we'll have in next March. So he is now with that power of picking the candidates for mayors and governors of the country. So he's like the other side of the coin of Arce. Until now, they have a good relation, at least polite, not very close. They have met only twice in 1 month. I think that Arce needs Morales for many things. Maybe Morales needs Arce also. We'll see what happens in 2025. Morales wants to be candidate for the next election cycle. And probably Arce will want to go also to re-election. So that's going to be interesting to see what happens.
I mean, with such differing styles, not to stir up trouble here, but they're almost bound to fight, right? And we've seen these conflicts in previous, you know, examples of where these very powerful, popular Latin American presidents then try to name a successor. And sometimes it works out pretty well with some conflict, as we're kind of seeing with Alberto Fernandez and Cristina Kirchner in Argentina. And then, of course, there are times where there's just a complete and total rupture, as we saw with Lenin Moreno in Ecuador and many years ago, Juan Manuel Santos in Colombia. Do you have any guesses as to, A, which model will probably be a closer resemblance to Bolivia? And also, I mean, who has the power there, really? I mean, do the people at this point, are they more inclined to support Evo? Is that where the power still is? Or is it, do you think Arce has his own base?
I think that Arce has his own base. Of course, Morales is the true leader of the party. I don't see a situation like that you mentioned, for example, in Ecuador, between Lenin Moreno and Correa. I don't think that they're going to have that kind of division or fight. But who knows? At the beginning, we were thinking that Arce was really much less powerful than Morales, and Morales had the biggest card to go to 2025 election. But maybe Arce could have in the future a support of part of the present opposition, right? We can imagine also maybe a scenario of both going to elections. And in that case, maybe a more moderate base would vote for Arce and maybe a more radical areas for Morales. But it's too soon to say.
On the judicial side, you mentioned earlier that Arce was considering some kind of judicial reform. You know, he has voiced his belief in bringing an end to using the judicial system to carry out political revenge. On the other hand, I mean, there may very well be crimes from that interim government that are worth prosecuting. Do you have any feel for how he's going to strike that balance?
It's interesting that President Arce has nominated a council of 9 lawyers. Very prestigious and kind of independent, some more close to the opposition, some more close to the government. And this council has to propose a law to change our constitution because, as you know, Brian, we choose our judges, especially Supreme Court, Constitutional Court, and other high courts that we have in Bolivia. We choose them by popular vote. But in the past, during the Evo years, the candidates to those posts had to go to a filter, and the filter was Congress. And with 2/3 of the vote, the candidates that went to the ballot were only lawyers related to the mass party. So in 2 elections, Bolivians had to go to vote for those lawyers to be judges of the Supreme Court, Constitutional Court, and others. And it was a mess, and because of that system, Evo Morales could control the judiciary because those courts also pick the local judges. So now we have this council that is trying to do a reform in the way we choose the judges in a much more independent way, and maybe go back to the 2/3 of vote in Congress to choose those judges. And because now the mass party doesn't have 2/3, they need the support of the opposition too. So this is a good thing. If we can really eliminate this popular vote, this crazy thing of voting for our high courts and going back to a system where Congress has to have a consensus to pick the judges, I think that it could be something positive.
How are you feeling about the economy? I mean, as I said in the introduction, big fiscal problems. I mean, the Añez government, among the many things that it botched during its year in power, was the budget situation there in Bolivia. Of course, COVID was a big part of that story. What are you seeing right now as we move into December 2020?
Yeah, the economy really is hurt. It's a mess. We'll have a decrease in almost 9% or 10% of our economy for this year. And we are selling less gas, natural gas, to Brazil and Argentina in lower prices than we used to do. The mining sector, as you said, also is in crisis. We don't have a diversified economy. 70% of our economy is informal. So poverty is really a problem now. And also COVID. Now we are in a situation better than in July. That was the worst moment for Bolivia. The New York Times estimated that we had one of the worst death rates in the world compared to our population. But now we're going to a second wave, that maybe that second wave will have it in February, exactly when the new school year should start. So this year, former President Añez canceled the school year, was one of the few countries in the world that definitely canceled the school year. And now we're trying to recuperate that and in February go back to school. But apparently we're going to have the second wave precisely between February and March. So those are really difficult topics. And the government has not given indications of what to do in those two areas. Education, very important, and the economy, also very important.
Well, and as you point out, I mean, having taken that decision to just flat out cancel school for the whole year made Bolivia an exception in some ways, although according to a UNICEF report back in November, 97% of Latin American kids are still out of school, physically not on campus. What has that been like for society? I mean, how do you see that kind of play out on a day-to-day basis? And can we even begin to guess what the damage of that will be over time?
But look, in some other countries, of course, kids didn't go to school, but they have some kind of education, for example, online or in areas of Brazil, even via TV. But in Bolivia, we canceled definitely the school year. So that was kind of different.
When you think about the reforms that need to be made in Bolivia right now to put the economy on a better footing after, you know, the problems predate COVID, it really is an economy that's been struggling for the last 6 or 7 years. What do you think is on that list of things that need to be done? And how hopeful are you about any progress?
Look, we need to diversify our economy. We depend on minerals and we depend on natural gas. That's almost all our export. And I think that we need to move on. We've been for decades stuck on that kind of extractivist kind of economic system. And sorry to say that President Arce believes that this is the only way. If we don't diversify, I think that we're going to still be in this vicious cycle. When the prices are high, our economy is better, but then the prices go down and we face many problems. And I don't see this topic in our national conversation, Brian.
On foreign policy, you know, President Arce has announced he will return to closer relationships with Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua. What do you think that'll look like in practice? And also, how can we expect him to navigate relations with other countries in the region, particularly Brazil, which, you know, with the Bolsonaro government, they tend to look unfavorably, let's say, on leftist governments?
Yes. And also, Brian, Brazil is very important for us. They buy our natural gas. So it's very, very important. I think that Arce is going to be very pragmatic in that field, trying to have a good relation with Brazil. We need to have that good relation. Also, Venezuela, of course, is very important in this equation. Arce's government has supported explicitly the Venezuelan government in the last days and after the elections that it took place there, very polemic. But I think that Arce is going to be pragmatic in the international relations and also with the U.S. Before being elected, he said that he wanted to normalize relations with the U.S. As you know, we don't have a U.S. ambassador in Bolivia.
Right, and that's a and that's a legacy from Evo Morales' time, where he broke that relationship.
Exactly. Philip Goldberg was the last U.S. ambassador in Bolivia. He was expelled 12 years ago in 2008. But President Arce said, well, before being elected, that he wanted to consider the possibility of having ambassadors. So I think for Arce, I think that he's going to look the relationship with the U.S. that was so strained in the years of Evo. I think that Arce would prefer to have a better relationship.
And then finally, Raul, you know, looking ahead, a lot of the big news internationally is revolving around the rollout of a vaccine. Where does Bolivia stand in that race? I mean, it's likely to become very competitive in 2021. How are they going to get, you know, vaccinations into arms all over Bolivia in the year to come?
Very good question. The government announced that he wants to buy 3.5 million vaccines for a population of 11 million. So the government wants to buy the vaccines and then vaccinate the population for free. But then the logistics of that, I think that we're going to have problems, Brian, because, for example, the Pfizer vaccine, as you know, needs 70 or 80 degrees Celsius below zero. And we don't have those kinds of fridges in Bolivia to have those vaccines in that temperature. So there are many logistic problems ahead.
Well, overall, I mean, it sounds, though, like the country's in a decent place as we head into 2021. I mean, at least as far as the Latin American context goes and you know, perhaps to a degree that none of us could have imagined as recently as 3 or 4 months ago, right?
Exactly. We had, as you said, a very strict lockdown. In some point, we had a huge death rate. As I said, maybe one of the highest even in the world due to our low population. But now we are in a pretty much not that serious position. We are better off, for example, than Argentina, that they have still hundreds of cases per day or thousands. But as I also said, we could have a second wave next year, even though we are not in a situation of crisis as we had in July. We have to think that this is, of course, not over.
Raul, good luck to you. Thank you so much for your time, and we hope to have you back again soon.
Great, Brian. It was great talking to you.
Thank you for listening to the America's Quarterly podcast. You can read more at americasquarterly.org. Finally, if you enjoyed the episode, please leave us a review, give us a rating, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. The America's Quarterly podcast is produced by Brendan O'Boyle and Leonie Rawls. America's Quarterly is an independent, not-for-profit publication of America's Society and the Council of the Americas.